One passage that I find myself quoting fairly often, especially to those who labor in the academy here, is from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, when St. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Your labor is not in vain." Seems like it is. If you are an elder, a teacher, trustee, treasurer, financial secretary, Sunday school teacher, altar guild person, or serve in any position that I have left out in the church, forgive me. You may get some gratitude from some people some of the time, but I wouldn't expect it. In fact, if I was asked the question, "Pastor, if I serve in any one of these positions, what's in it for me?" The best answer might be absolutely nothing. Well, you may feel good about what you do some of the time, but other times you may find yourself thinking that you're doing the work for nothing. It's in vain. You won't get paid. People probably won't notice a lot of the work you do unless you do something wrong, and then you will hear about it. By the way, we have some positions available for sign up in the hallway. Please prayerfully consider it. And I do mean that. Pray to your God, who uses people for his good. But at least this side of heaven, friends, don't expect anything in return for your work. And at the same time, that doesn't mean you shouldn't labor and serve, because you do not do it for yourself, but for the sake of your neighbor. We are to labor in the Lord for the neighbor who needs it. And more importantly, it's because God commands such work to be done, and his word is always righteous and good. If you are doing something only because you're looking for something in return, then your focus isn't on your neighbor and it's not on Christ. It's on yourself. What's in it for me, we ask. And if there's profit to be had in serving the neighbor, well, that isn't so bad. But what if the neighbor is a constant drain? Then what? Answer, love them. Serve them. Help them. Pray for them. And expect nothing in return, at least in this life. Friends in Christ, there is a danger in serving the neighbor, and that is you may get hurt in the process. You may receive a lot of pain when you tell your child to stop living in sin. Or as a parent, your child causes you nothing but grief, even after all the time you have invested raising them in the instruction and fear of the Lord. If you have been a teacher, and you have tried to teach a student a particular subject, only to watch them moan and groan, whether it's math, history, Greek, Latin, or maybe even the Word of God, you have probably asked yourself the question, at least at some point, is this really worth it? Why am I doing this? And I'm sure many of you parents have had similar questions. Why did I have so many kids? Or, here's a good one, why did I have kids at all? Serving the neighbor can be a frustrating affair. However, a lot of frustration comes about because we do not like being put out, do we? We like our time. We don't want to be interrupted. We like making money, seeking pleasure. And when the needy neighbor rains on our parade with their needs, their wants, their sufferings, maybe even their belly aching, it's all too easy to cast them off and look for those neighbors who can at least pay you back a little bit for your generosity. My friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, your labor is never in vain. In this life, don't expect too much in return. In fact, don't expect anything at all, and that should not bother you one bit, because the repayment for our lives as justified sinners is much, much more than a mere thank you or here's a 20. It's life in heaven, a resurrection of the body, and life eternal to the just. You will bask in the presence of your God, free from worry and fear, and a body that is complete and perfect without sin. That is your payment, and get this, it is free. It is given to you by grace through faith in Jesus. In the Word of God that we heard this morning, in the Gospel lesson, Jesus dined with Pharisees. And there are two problems in today's text that are not unrelated. One is the Pharisees' view of the Sabbath. It had been turned from a day God gave holiness to his people who were to do nothing but receive his generosity and holiness, to a day when man gave to God the good work of doing nothing. The Sabbath was for man, a gift of God to man. The Sabbath was never intended to be something man does for God. But the Pharisees had perverted this day into something man does, taking salvation and placing it in the hands of the sinner. The second problem was at the table. People were taking the places of honor for themselves. And Jesus gives us a warning against elevating ourselves. Rather, one is to be elevated or exalted by the very one who invites you to the table. In other words, instead of exalting yourself before God because you believe yourself to be righteous, realize your humility before him as a sinner saved only by his grace. That is your exaltation and invitation to the table. You dine with God because he has redeemed you. And then Jesus goes on to warn us about doing things only because you want something in return, like inviting those people to a banquet, all the while expecting to get something back. Rather, it's those who need your help but cannot repay who the Christian is called to serve with the promise of payment when God takes you from this life to the next. Seeing the Sabbath as a day you do something for God, the good work of doing nothing at all, elevating yourself to the place of honor at the table, and serving only those people who can pay you back means we are thinking too highly of ourselves. And for Jesus, the consequence is shame when before everybody you are humiliated and humbled when ordered to sit at the last place of the table. Those who are first will be last, says our Lord. When he calls us to serve those neighbors who truly need help and can't pay you back, friends, he's not calling you to do something that he himself is unwilling to do. Jesus serves all of us, and there is nothing we can do to pay him back, nor is he expecting payment in return. When reflecting on your neighbor, who may be grinding on your nerves at the moment, reflect also on yourself and what your gracious God has already done in service to you. Humility before God is not some attitude that we fake, but it comes from his law that reduces us to ashes, his mighty word, his law that convicts us and exposes all of our sins before God. Thankfully, our Lord Jesus has served us already, freely, out of his love and compassion, not because he wants something in return. God sees, God needs nothing we have, but he saves us out of his love, out of his undying, unfathomable love. Christ comes into this world wearing flesh and blood. He snatches every single one of your sins, and he becomes last before men at the cross. How does God serve you? He has done it, Christian, by dying for you, paying for all of your sin, and by his death, your sin really is put away, and God looks upon you, and he declares you justified. Your neighbor shouldn't have to pay you back, because all of us live as one who really are beggars before God. We have nothing to give, we can only receive. And you know what? Your merciful God would have it no other way. He's not looking at you wondering what you can do for him. The Father sees the Son, and in the Son there is perfect righteousness and holiness. How is that yours? In Christ you have his righteousness, and that is what the Father sees. He sees someone who is already perfected and pure, not a sinner who needs to do more to get on God's good side. With Jesus, you have everything already. The work is accomplished. The labor is done. Redemption is secure. Christ Jesus has done it. God is not looking at you thinking he needs to do more to have access into my heaven. The law has already been fulfilled. Jesus has done it. He has kept God's mighty law to perfection, and it's all yours by faith in him, in Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Serve your neighbor, knowing your labor is never in vain. And remember, you labor as one who already possesses everything. You don't need what your neighbor can give, because in Christ, friends, you have the true treasures. And you have already been served by a gracious, loving God who loves and tends to his children. You know, parents love their children, not because they're expecting something in return. They're not supposed to love their children because they're expecting something in return. Otherwise, every parent would be waiting for a long time for that college tuition reimbursement. It'll probably never come. But parents are to love their children because they are their children. And they should recognize their children are gifts of God who we are to love and nourish. Christ Jesus has made you a child of God. And in Christ, nothing separates you from that love. God's love. The love that means you are forgiven. The love that means you have a resurrection of the body to look forward to. God gives you these things. And he charges nothing. He expects nothing in return. These gifts are yours only by faith. When a man has dropsy in the presence of Jesus, our Lord doesn't go tell him, get your life in order and then come back to me. But he heals him. And the text says he releases him. That's a glimpse, my friends, of the resurrection. That is what Jesus is showing us. When we stand before him at the resurrection of the just, Christ will bestow his mercy, his forgiveness, saying to his children, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy master. You will be released of your sin and your body will be complete. You will be healed at the resurrection. Sin truly will be no more. That's what you had to look forward to. So my friends, remember, as you go forth, your labor in the Lord, it is never in vain. God's labor in dying at the cross is not in vain. He has already served you abundantly by his death, bestowing upon you his forgiveness, his love, and his mercy, his grace, all of which right now you live by faith in his promise as one who is justified, that is to say, declared righteous by him, and God will certainly continue to serve you life everlasting at the resurrection. Amen. And may the peace of God, which really does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting.